This is Brother Fahim, and you are now tuned in to the Leave with Logic podcast. You know the vibes. Peace and love, y'all. Welcome back. I appreciate y'all. Come on in. Have a seat. Relax your mind. Let your conscience be free. Lay back to the sound of Brother Fahim. Man, a lot going on. A lot going on in the world. I try to keep my ultra magnetic tuned in to the pulse of the people. And just moving in a good space, man. Yes, yes, sir. Hopefully you guys' week, days, you know, seconds, everything is going good for y'all, man. I know everything is pretty copacetic on my end. What has been going on as of late? I've been seeing a whole bunch about Sexy Red sex tape, right? It was all on my Twitter feed. I actually got to see the sex tape for research purposes, but it brought a great topic into my mind. It brought a very good topic into my mind. And I thought to myself, wow, this is super, super insightful. I don't know if the public knows what they're witnessing with Sexy Red, right? Do we understand the significance of Sexy Red? What does she really mean? What does this sex tape mean? Is this a one-off? Is this something that happens in a vacuum? Or is this something by design, some grander design? Well, we're going to get into that. I want to play a video for you guys. Let you see something. Might start being quick on the draw. But yeah, let me share something with you right quick. And here we are. So yeah, you know, Sexy Red is catching a whole lot of flack. She's caught more, I think, as of late, just because of the raunchiness of her song. She's a rapper out of St. Louis, and she has a song called Pound Town, where she brags and boasts, "My coochie pink, my booty hole brown." That's her claim to fame, but people seem to be taking to it. They seem to be taken to it. So now what I'm getting ready to show you guys is this is Instagram. I saw this on Instagram, right? I saw this post on Instagram, and what it is, it's Sherry Shepherd, the comedian. She's at the Breakfast Club and she's speaking with them. And this is what she said. They were talking about men and what she likes. And then they got into Miss Sexy Red. I want y'all to hear what she said.
I love a man that's creative. I love a man that loves great conversation. Because physically, okay, I'm practical. You can't be throwing me up in the air.
So you don't want Pound Town?
No. No. I just heard the lyrics to that.
Pussy pink booty.
Oh my God. I was like, what are these girls talking about nowadays? When you're talking about your booty hole, be sexy to people.
You got to have her on daytime TV.
Because she's gonna be like, this auntie, okay, gone, old lady. What is wrong? When did just getting money and get showing your booty hole to dudes become sexy? So me, I come from the school of let them imagine something. Don't just come and show him every day. When did your booty become like the emphasis now?
That's not fair though, because our generation was like that. Lil' Kim and Foxy.
Yes, we had our wild side.
Yeah, it was like that too.
But I just feel like these girls, we don't have anything to balance it. Because back then when you had Lil' Kim and everybody, you had Latifah going, UNITY.
That's true.
You had Queen Penn. You had Lauryn Hill.
I mean, you have a Rhapsody now, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think you have enough.
Well, all right. Sherry Shepherd said, what caught my, what made me listen was she said, when did having booty and getting money become the norm? When did that become desirable? Well, it's been desirable for a minute. Like Charlemagne the God explained to her, we had ours back in the day too. We had a lot of people who were on that, who were objectified, right? And we bopped along with it, right? We bopped right along with it. So yeah. So this is nothing new. But again, I was reading on Twitter all the flack she was catching. And you know, she had been catching flack anyway. Sexy Red has been catching it anyway because her image, you know, and I'm gonna show you a photo of the sister, but her image is not the most desirable, but it is definitely hypersexualized and over objectified. So yeah, I wanted to come on here, man, and share with you guys, give you a little bit of history of objectification in the Black community. And this is a diasporan issue, right? Because it goes all the way back to Africa with Sarah Bartman, or the Hottentot Venus. That's what they called her. So let me share a little bit, share some more things with you so we can get on right on into it. Yeah, we can get right into it. So this is who that is. This is Sarah Bartman. I'm getting ready to pop her up on the screen. You might have heard of her. Venus Hottentot. That's what we called her. But Hottentot Venus is her actual name. But let's go ahead and share that on the screen. The significance of Sarah Bartman. I'm just going to go over this number, read a little bit. 2 centuries ago, Sarah Bartman died after years spent in European freak shows. Now rumors over a possible Hollywood film about Bartman's life has sparked controversy. Sarah Bartman died on 29 December 1815, but her exhibition continued. Her brain, skeleton, and sexual organs remain on display in Paris, in a Paris museum, until 1974. Her remains weren't repatriated and buried until 2002. Wow. Brought to Europe seemingly on false pretenses by a British doctor, stage name the Hottentot Venus. She was paraded around freak shows in London and Paris, with crowds invited to look at her large buttocks. Today, she is seen by many as the epitome of colonial exploitation and racism, of the ridicule and commodification of Black people. Reports of Beyoncé planning to write and star in a film about Bartman have been denied by the singer's representatives, but the rumors were enough to generate concern. Gene Burgess, a chief of the Koiko group that Bartman was from, argued that Beyoncé lacked the basic human dignity to be worthy of writing Sarah's story, let alone playing the part. But Jack Devonrain, they got some pretty hard sounding names, I'm sorry y'all, the chairman of the South African Guild of Actors, said filmmakers had the right to tell the stories of people you find fascinating, and that's what we must be careful not to object to. Even in denying any link to a film, Beyoncé's representative said this is an important story that should be told. Absolutely, it's an important story that must be told, because this statement right here sums it up. Today, she is seen by many as the epitome of colonial exploitation and racism, of the ridicule and commodification of Black people. That's what we're talking about. The commodification and ridicule of Black people, and also the colonial exploitation and racism. That's on full display with Sexy Red, right? And, you know, I'm not for or against Sexy Red, right? She earns what she gets. But I have enough sense, or I try to have enough sense, to look at that thing objectively and understand that she doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? She's not an anomaly, right? She comes from a long lineage of instances, right? You know, a lot of people ridicule these female rappers. I heard Fabulous talking about him. He was saying how he didn't respect them. It was another cat that I saw. I can't remember his name, but they were alluding to the fact that they really couldn't get into female rap because it was so sex oriented. You know what? Jermaine Dupri made some statements that he caught a little flack for. He was like, man, it's about sex. I really can't get into it because it's hypersexualized. So yeah. she's found a niche. She's found a niche and she's going with it. Yeah, she's going with it. So, yeah. Now, I want to show you guys a little something else. Little something else. Let's see here. All right, there we go. I'm just pulling this up. What I'm pulling up for you guys is the evolution of female hip hop artists. And you tell me if they've got more sexual or what. You tell me what you think. All right, let's see what we got here. There we go. Let's see what we got here. Y'all gotta work with me. Y'all gotta bear with me. Okay, here we go. That's it. That's what I'm trying. Now we're cooking with grease.
I used to be scared talk about sex on the radio and video shows. Many will know anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was, and of course how it should be. Realize the realism of reality can go the same. The satisfaction is the name of this game, so I choose to explain. It's evident left side on me, the rest of my body is irrelevant.
Is this all you got? 1 minute and you go pop.
Telling me lies, you a real good lover. You a 2 minute lover.
Hey, yo, shorty, won't you go get a bag of the lethal? I'll be undressed in the bra. All see through. While you count your jewels, thinking I'ma cheat you. The only one thing I wanna do is freak you.
Find a way to fit, wanna taste the shit. Put me on a base and throw your face in it. Fuck her. Nah, y'all can't touch her. My sex drive all night like a trucker.
I'm on my cat.
I've been to places I've been. Who can spend the grand that I spend? Fuck my 5 or 6 best friends.
Oh, lick it now, lick it good. Lick this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good.
Break me up, show me what you got. Cause I don't want no 1 minute man.
This dude named Michael used to buy motorcycles. Six bigger than a tower. I ain't talking about ice.
Baby gave me head, that's a low blow. Damn, she made me weak when she deep throw.
I bet your little sister wanna look like me. I bet your little brother wanna fuck on me. Hood bitch, good pussy, I ain't average.
Big old freak, big booty, big old tree. I'ma make him wait for the pussy. Hit it in these big old skis.
I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage.
Make me dream, make it stream. I don't public, make the scene. I don't cook, I don't clean. But let me tell you, I got this ring.
That's my favorite line. I don't cook. I don't clean. Let me show you how I got this ring. Wow. Let me stop sharing. But what we just saw was an example of what Sherry Shepherd said. What was the answer to her question, right? She said, since when did getting money and butts become the norm or desirable? It's been desirable. It's been the norm. It's been the norm, right? Things have been, things like this have been going on in the hip hop community. This is nothing new. Nothing new at all. You know, again, she's the low hanging fruit, brothers and sisters. Sexy Red is, you know, when you go in McDonald's, people support, right? People support McDonald's knowing that they sell foods that give you cancer, right? They sell known carcinogens. It's unhealthy. There's a documentary out there called Supersize Me where a guy ate McDonald's for, I think, 30 days. And he documented the effects of it. And it was super duper intriguing and interesting. Y'all should go check it out. Supersize Me. Man, his health it shot the shit real quick when he was eating that food. As soon as he got off of it, got back into exercising, he was good. But it was killing him though. His blood pressure went up. He began to become overweight. It just wasn't healthy. But now I mentioned McDonald's to say this. When you go in there, you meet the cashier. And the cashier is the one who's accessible. The cashier is the one who's visible. The cashier is the one that you can touch. Now, you could get upset at the cashier for, you know, the quality of the food, the conditions of the workers and all that good stuff. But really, it's the owner. It's the guy who buys the products, who sells it, right? It's really the guy who stood up to McDonald's, or the guy who owns the whole establishment. What I'm trying to say is rappers are nothing but the low-hanging fruit. They're accessible, they're visible, and you see them the most. And so you say, you. But really, it's the A&Rs. Really, it's the owners of these companies. Really, those are the ones. Mos Def had a song. I forget. I think it was The Rape Over. And he dealt with who runs hip hop. And it wasn't anybody in the Black community. It wasn't nobody in the Black community, right? I'm saying, yes, that's not the image that my daughter will see and think is desirable. That's not it at all. But I also, you know, we have to understand who controls this thing called media, who controls these industries like hip hop, and how it affects us and impacts us, right? Because Sexy Red is just really a highly accessible, highly visible worker. She's just a worker. Now, I looked up her record label, and it looked like it was Black owned. It's independent. I guess it was related to Snoop Dogg and Usher, whoever the guy is that produces. I forgot his name. I looked it up, but you know. Yeah. But you know, Sexy Red has a job to do. She has a job to do. And she's doing a job. I can remember I was in a Twitter space some months back, and they were discussing Sexy Red. She had went into a school, and the people were just appalled. Man, they were pitching a fit over Sexy Red going to talk to these high schoolers. I didn't have an issue with it. I didn't have an issue with it. You know, I don't, man, because these children are listening to all of these artists who talk about, you know, drugging the Black community. They're talking about disrespecting the women. You know, some of their favorite artists, some of the artists that I grew up listening to, you know. So also, we live in a world where you can't say the N-word, right? You can say the N-word, but if you call somebody an epithet that has to do with sexual orientation, then you could be canceled, you could be harmed, you could be taken off of whatever platform or whatever you're doing, right? And I'm not saying it's okay to use these sexual orientation epithets on anybody. That's not it. But I'm just saying, in the world we live in today, it weighs heavier on the morality scale. And so, no, I didn't have an issue with Sexy Red going to the school, because if it had been my child's school, first and foremost, I'm teaching my children what our norm is, what our standards and what our values are. And it doesn't align with a whole lot of any media, right? Because I understand media has an underlying motive that they're trying to accomplish. There's an objective, and typically it's not for the benefit of the consumer. So, but yeah, man, people seem to really, that Pound Town song has really seemed to rub a lot of people wrong. It's rubbed a lot of people wrong. My coochie pink, my booty hole brown. Yeah, people are pissed about that. They're pissed, and they don't necessarily like her image. They don't like the image that she's presenting. That's why I'm getting ready to show y'all the image of Miss Sexy Red. You know, they don't appreciate the image. Sexy Red. All right. Sexy Red. Let's see what's. Look at these photos. The photo right here, Miss Red, you know. But here's what I want to show y'all. Y'all, I see Sexy Red, that pose. That seems to be like the standard pose for these female rappers. Let's type in Little Kim. Sexy album. It's the first. Little Kim was the first artist that I remember utilizing sexuality. Look at that. Yes, she was the first one I can remember. I'm like, dang, she going all out, ain't she? She's going all the way out. Not too far off from Miss Sexy Red, right? Not too far off from Miss Sexy Red. And you heard, you know, I used to be scared of the dick. Now I throw lips to the shit. Handle it like a real. Yeah, that's what we were listening to. Right? We were listening to. And then you had Foxy Brown. Look at Foxy Brown. You know, my main man, Charlie, or as he goes by his persona, Charleston White. I was listening to him and he was saying how Sexy Red is going to have a lot of little girls thinking that that's the standard. She's going to have a lot of little girls falling into pedophilia because men now will see Sexy Red and desire that. And girls will pick up on it and innately say, oh, this is what is the norm. This is what I need to be doing. This is how I attract a man. Again, it goes back to what are we teaching our daughters, right? Are we talking to them? Bill Cosby said this of adults who end up getting locked up. He said, it's too late when he's 21 in a red jumpsuit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 8? Where were you when he was 12? It's no different with our daughters. Where are you, brothers and sisters? Are you with them at 2? Are you teaching them at 4? Are you teaching them at 8? See, by the time they become teenagers, especially in this world where so many abnormal values and norms are spread all across the land, are you telling your daughters, hey, listen, this is how we protect ourselves? Are you telling them when you see things like Brickgate, which I have a video on, are you telling them, hey, listen, you need to back up from men. Hey, listen, you don't need to argue with men, right? Hey, listen, you don't need to conduct yourself in a certain manner, because when you put certain energies out there, you're going to get certain energies back. And it's not necessarily that you deserve it, but you have to be aware that it is and will come back, right? So no, I would disagree with my brother. And I respect Charleston White because I agree with a whole lot, most of what he says. When he's telling the truth, I'm with him. When he's not, I do get off the train. But it's really a wake-up call for us to really make sure that we're speaking to our daughters and telling them, hey, listen, this is entertainment. This isn't anything that's real. These people have jobs. Just like when you go, again, when you go to a Chick-fil-A, when you go to a fast food restaurant, they might not do that. They might not even eat that in their real life. But since that's their job, they'll serve it. Michael Jackson never drank Pepsi, but he was under contract with Pepsi, so he had to promote it. But yeah, this is Inga. I think that's her real name. I heard Corrupt say that. But Foxy Brown was another one. She was utilizing sex. She was selling that sex. Right? And she was another female. You know, I know, the difference between Sexy Red and a Little Kim, a Nicki Minaj, all these characters, is that they're a little bit more talented, right? Nicki Minaj, Little Kim, they're a little bit more creative with their artistry. You know, music is such right now where it's dumbed down, unfortunately. It's not a whole bunch of creativity. It's not a whole bunch of, it doesn't appear to be a whole lot of holding the lyrics sacred. There's no sacredness in lyricism anymore. I mean, really, in male or female hip hop, right? You know, And it goes in cycles. I'm not hating, man. Everybody has their time at bat. Everybody has their time in, on top of the mountain. It goes in cycles, man. Your time on top of the mountain is determined by how you treat people. Your time in the valley or your lows is determined by how you treat people when you're in one of your peaks on top of the mountain. So, you know, we have to be mindful of who, what region in hip hop, because sometimes regions can have rivalries that are nonsensical. But yeah, we have to understand the time that we're in. I understand it. I get it. And I respect it. And I never like to, I don't ever ridicule senselessly these young people's music, because I remember I didn't appreciate it when our music was ridiculed. So we have to keep that in mind, regardless of what the music sounds like to us. We have to always keep an objective perspective. But yeah, man. Who else? Let's say Nicki Minaj. Look at all of these sisters, man. Look at that. Look. It's sexuality, you know. They're selling sex. You know, it's almost like whenever sisters watch football, I always wonder, are they watching football because they know the plays, you know, or are they looking at them tight pants and them broad arms? And although they got shoulder pads on, it makes their physique, the ones that are running, it makes them look that much desirable to the woman. Are they really watching because they are sports fans? Are they watching because they, in their mind, they like, ooh. But, and hey, you know, my perspective on female MCs is this. If I can close my eyes and listen to you, and you have the skill, you have the storytelling ability, you have the flow and delivery that's dope, then I'll listen to you. I can't front. I remember telling my oldest son when he was a kid, man, Nicki Minaj ain't gonna be around for long, because she just, you know, she putting her ass out there, you know, she jiggling her ass, and then that's gonna be the end. But she proved me wrong, because she got more and more lyrical as she went along. You know, if you want to stay around, you have to make that commercial hit for the radio so that people say, oh, okay, that's Brother Fahim, or oh, okay, that's whoever, such and such. But when you listen to a lot of her music, man, she can go lyrically. She can, it's a reason why she's the highest selling female artist of all time, Nicki Minaj. But again, they've used sex so much to sell her and to market her that it's like, you know, who else? What's her name? What's the city girl's name? What is that city girl's name? Arisha, is that her name? Or the city girls? Puffy's boo thing. Like something she said, she went to a party and Puff had his woman there, and they said, you ain't upset? She said, honey, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I so dig that, because that means she has a firm grasp on reality. I can dig it. I love it. They honest with each other. They enjoying each other. Hey, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? This is Carisha. What is it? Young Miami. That's her name. Young Miami. And again, I'm not knocking these sisters, man. What I'm trying to demonstrate to you guys is that this is a lineage. Sexy Red, you know, for all those people criticizing her look, for all those people criticizing her lyrics, she's not an anomaly. She's not alone. This is the industry that she's in. That's the norm. If you want to come in and make a name, this is what you got to do. But yeah, this is Carisha. This is Young Miami. And then we got my favorite, Megan Thee Stallion. She just went ahead and gave herself an animalistic name, right? She said she was she's just going to give herself, you know, the tributes of that horse. Because she got a mule back there, right? I guess she was like, look, I might as well capitalize on it. But y'all get my drift, though, right? Sex sells. And in hip-hop, that's pretty much the formula for females, right? I mean, it's another formula for men. For men, it's the other extreme. They thugging out. You know, they got all this money to burn and blow. You know, they're hyper-materialistic. So these are the things that have been marketed to us and marketed to our communities. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. It's super sad. But now, there's the case of the sex tape. Like I said, she put the sex tape out, and now people are like, ugh, she's dirty. Ugh, she's this. Ugh, she's that. Again, in today's music industry, in today's world, period, you know, a sex tape is not the end of the world. In fact, a sex tape can spark your career. Look at Kim Kardashian. So let's not play holy about these sex tapes. We should not, because again, if we are gonna, like Jay-Z said, if y'all wanna play sick, we can all get ill. So do we have the same treatment for everybody who's made a sex tape? Because quite a few people have made a sex tape. I didn't realize how many people until I looked it up. I was like, damn, that many people made a sex tape? It wasn't just Kim Kardashian? Huh. I always thought it was just Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. It was three of them. It was Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. Oh, and Eve had one as well. Eve had one as well. Her and Stevie J. Her and Stevie. They had one also. So, this is a celebrity sex tapes, a complete list. I figured I would show y'all this. Mimi, that's Mimi Foss. That was the shower curtain, right? That was a shower rod. Yeah, buddy. I remember that one too. The shower rod. Damn, that's a strong ass shower rod. I might want to order one of those. Chris Humphries and Myla Sinanaj. I don't even know how to say that. I'm sorry, forgive me. If somebody know how to say it, put it in the comments. Well, I wouldn't. It's not like I can hear it. Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. I remember that one too, right? Everybody was going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over that one. You know, hell, they even got a documentary about it, man, where they, you know, they're discussing it. Dustin Duff Screech. Screech had a, bless his heart, Screech had a sex tape. Now, where is it? J-Lo, I saw where J-Lo had a sex tape as well, but it never got out. That's what you don't know. It never got out. So, you know, you didn't hear about it. See, there it is. Jennifer Lopez allegedly had a sex tape in 08, but she was able to stop the distribution before anything was actually leaked. J-Lo said, no, baby, no. You won't be looking at this, buddy. You won't be looking at this at all. Man, there's so many celebrities on here that I didn't know had sex tapes. I was tripping like, dang, really? Kanye got a sex tape. I was like, okay, maybe that's why he was able to rhyme about it in his song, right? My girl, superstar, all from a home movie. Vince Neil, look at this. All these jokers, man. Carrie Preason, if I'm saying that right. They've all had sex tapes. The one I remember, the one that I first heard about was, again, Kim Kardashian. She was the one that I remember saying, and there she is, Kim Kardashian. Well, at least her name. My computer running slow, so it might load up a little bit slow. There she is, Kim Kardashian herself. Sex tape. Whole sex tape. You know. So, I mean, it's... Unfortunately, it's almost like norm. People bounce back, people recover, and people are so perverted in mind where, you know, hey, they're like, yeah, that's cool. Why not? You know what I mean? Or let me retract that. They're not so perverted in mind, but certain aspects have been normalized, and hypersensitivity and hypersexuality has absolutely been normalized. So, but yeah, man, I really wanted to go over that, you know, that whole history. Like I said, Sarah Bartman, they were, she went into prostitution. They were sleeping with her. They were groping her. And you gotta, you know, you understand how Caucasian people, you know, in America, they're starting to eat, you know, collard greens and cornbread. I'm messing, but they're thicker. You know, what I was reading was when Hottentot Venus on Sarah Bartman, when she was over there, they didn't have that, right? Europeans weren't built like that to be hippie and have all that butt back there. They still don't, by and large. You know, in different places, they do. But just on a humble, no, sir. No, ma'am. They don't have it. They don't have it at all. So, yeah, it was a little bit of inquisitiveness. It was a little bit of envy. But, yeah, she was still exploited nonetheless, right? She was still exploited. So we have to ensure that we're not participating in that when we deal with our sisters. It's always good to lead with your logic and see through the madness, see through what's going on. And let me say this. If you haven't already, like and subscribe. If you haven't already, like and subscribe. I'm gonna be going live on Thursdays, and I'll release new episodes by Wednesday. So Wednesday, a new episode come out. Thursday, you know, I'll live stream, maybe recap what I was talking about, or just whatever people feel like chatting about that day. But yeah, man. So yeah, Miss Sexy Red, when y'all look at that sister, hopefully you can look at her and say, man, she's a sister who, for whatever reason, is utilizing hip hop to advance herself and help her interests and help her family. You know, that comes with certain responsibilities, and they don't always benefit you or your community. They don't always benefit you. So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, we have to again, just think critically, analyze things, you know, and you'll be just fine. But, man, that's all I have. This was real quick. Like I said, I just wanted to get on and speak to that, because I really don't like to see that sister still our sister, regardless of what her work uniform is, the red hair, the tight shorts, you know, or what the meta language is that she has to speak. My coochie pink, my booty hole brown. I look at it from a holistic aspect. Like, man, she's only jumped into something that was already there for her to jump into. If there were no lane, if those people that I showed y'all had never existed, then there wouldn't be a lane for a Sexy Red or a Sukihana. There wouldn't be. But see, they've blazed the trail. You know, the stripper rap, the sex rap, you know, it's been something that's been going on for a long time. Yeah. It's something that's been going on for a minute. So that's all I really have, yo. Hopefully you guys are doing well. Like and subscribe. Grab a friend and tune in next time. Share it. Share this recording. And until we meet again, may we one day meet in the light of understanding. Hey, peace and love, y'all.